a good art.
Claudia Jauer is a tamaki-based maker whose practice explores the sculptural possibilities of paint, moving between the two- and three-dimensional, employing a myriad of tools and kitchen implements, from icing bags and decorator tips to tile grouting combs to squeeze, manipulate, and build paint onto her canvas. Paint, shells, coral, mussy, and seaweed layered like sedimentary rock, forming these beautiful webs of delicate pastels, Jowett pushes the boundaries of traditional definitions of what makes a painting, challenging the constraints of the canvas and frame in these rhythms of movement. Her current solo exhibition at Melanie Roger Gallery, Ualevu, follows on from her recent solo presentation at the Douse in Wellington, Oana, Carried by the Waves, presenting her work in a variety of forms, some more as paintings, others more as sculpture, as well as cyanotypes too. I had a korero with Claudia Jowett about Ualevu and her wider practice.
Kia ora, my name is Claudia Jowett. I'm a painter of sorts, and I work as an educator and in arts advocacy. In terms of the things that inform my practice, I'm very much sort of in the abstract painting kind of area, but sort of increasingly pushing towards work that sits somewhere between sculpture and painting. That's more informed by my dad's Fijian heritage, and it sitting somewhere like informed by sort of heritage practices, but looking at it in a more contemporary version of that as someone of kind of mixed heritage, Kailoma, which means someone of Itoke and Valangi heritage. So that kind of is reflected in the work and what informs it as well.
Your current exhibition at Melanie Roger Gallery, Ualevu, follows from your Douse show, Oana, Carried by the Waves, your first solo exhibition in a public gallery. To begin with speaking about the show at Melanie Roger, would you like to start to speak a little about the Douse show? How did this project come about, and what's it like for you to bring the show up to Tamaki now?
Oh, yeah. So the Douse show was a really positive experience. It was working with Carl Chittam, who's the director and was my curator, and it came from a conversation of like looking back at works that I'd made in Fiji or collected stuff from Fiji since I think the earliest was 2016, and it went to new work that was made. It had 51 works in it that moved through a variety of mediums like watercolors, cyanotypes, paintings, sort of more sculptural pieces. And it was this idea of kind of building a breadth of how the sort of the current work and gestures towards what come next, like a base of where that had all come from, and then positioning it in terms of the cultural connections and as this kind of gesture towards a painting practice that sits somewhere between sculpture and painting.
I wanted to ask a little bit more about, I guess, that style. Your practice largely explores the sculptural possibilities of paint, moving between the two- and three-dimensional, employing all sorts of tools and kitchen implements, from icing bags and decorator tips to tile grouting combs, to squeeze, manipulate, and build paint onto your canvas. I'd love to know a little bit about how you first came across this way of making. Where did the signature style of yours come from?
When I was doing my undergraduate and then my honours at IUT, I'd kind of been looking at really pared, eventually I'd got to this point of very pared back abstraction practice, like sort of the Agnes Martin style, working really a lot with mainly whites that were tinted. I still kind of have that quite pastel approach, but then by the time I'd come to do my master's at Elam, I became quite interested in this, like the do's and don'ts of like what a serious painting practice is and what the difference between like craft or like woman's work and all these kind of distinctions and hierarchies that the art world makes. And coming from that thing where you're constantly looking at, in the beginning, or encouraged to look, you know, to America and to Europe as, you know, predominantly, I was looking at quite a lot of female, but, you know, there's this abstract expressionist, very male-dominated canon.
Mm.
And I became quite interested in craft and woman's work and the domestic, and yeah, this thing of like kitchen tools as painting and like doing the wrong things, using pastel colors that were kind of kitschy, and like that, I think it came from this element of, I don't know, this slight, I shouldn't swear, but kind of punk kind of element, where I was like, I want to kind of butt up against what could be considered as serious abstract painting, and as like a female, what are the rules that I could sort of break a little bit, you know, like there was like, I loved, you know, I still love Judy Darrow, but I remember looking at her work when I was a kid and just being like, whoa, the queen of camp and like kitchen, you know, that thing of like leaning into this, using the haberdashery and the stuff around the house and collecting things and it all kind of forming the substrate of that you build stuff off of. So that was where it kind of started. And then it involved reconnecting with my dad's family back in Fiji, that really started to fold back into the work. So I guess it started from trying to do the wrong things.
How can I do what I'm told not to
exactly
do?
Exactly right.
Perfect. That's beautiful. Yeah. I definitely want to talk a little bit more about some of the ideas you pointed to there. But you mentioned at the beginning, you called yourself a painter of sorts. And I'd love to kind of talk a little bit more about that. Would you consider yourself as a painter or more of a sculptural artist? Does that title change depending on the form of canvas you use?
Yeah, I don't even think I would say I would call myself a sculptor. I think it's just this weird kind of, I don't know, whether it's like maybe I sit somewhere in being a maker. I don't know, like, you know, I grew up in quite a creative family. My mum was a seamstress and a pattern maker. My dad was a draftsman. And this whole thing of like, what creative practice isn't it really coming back to making constantly? I don't know, there can be this kind of like, yes, I'm a painter, but also I am a painter. You know, can feel quite, I don't know, maybe it's a weird little hang up I've got. Like the making thing is like, to me it just comes back to this constant process of making as opposed to painting. It's like I am a painter, but I'm also using a lot of different materials that aren't just paint. Yes, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I need to talk to a psychologist or something.
It's a bit of everything, actually. Yeah. No, I guess I was just thinking about that because, you know, you spoke about earlier how you're in art school and you're learning about these traditional ideas of what a painting is. Yes. And I feel like your practice maybe tries to push the boundaries of these. Do you feel like your practice might challenge the typical understanding of how we define a painting in that sense?
I think they're not necessarily like well-behaved. Maybe that's the thing. And I'm not always that well behaved. I think there's this, maybe the thing that started to, I pushed these paintings into these really passive, initially when I was making works, where they were very quiet and unassuming and you really had to work to kind of get them to, I know it sounds kind of funny, but open up in a way as to what was going on. Whereas I was like, what if you do the complete opposite? And they're quite like, I quite like pastels potentially being assertive pastels as opposed to it being this thing of like pastels are soft and, you know. So the colour thing is quite intentional. There's also that thing of it riffing off because where my dad's from is like on the coral reefs and like the amount of time I've spent out there. So inevitably some of those colours are informing it. But I think that thing of it like them being quite assertive, you know, and then pushing out into the form, they're pushing out through the frame, they're kind of leaping off the traditional substrate is definitely part of that, like trying to test just where they want to go a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like you've like kind of played more and more into that as well, kind of going beyond the frame throughout the years. Have you tried to lean more into that as you've gone through your practice?
Yeah, I've definitely tried to do some more, like I've cast a full painting in bronze before, so expensive, Jesus Christ. Or do sort of things in fiberglass. There was a thing where sometimes you lost the tactility, which I like. I just enjoy making as well. It sounds silly, but that thing of like handicraft or like embellishment, like the thing in the with Pacific practices where it's like adornment is a big thing. That thing of referencing the natural world, natural elements, and those things being. Like with Musi, which is Fijian tapa, where all the mark making and the forms represent elements from the natural world that are then formed into a language, because it wasn't, Wasavakaviti Fijian language wasn't a written thing until missionaries came. It was a visual, you know, like that storytelling was oratory, but then there was also translated into visual storytelling.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that you spoke on it a little bit earlier, but I think that and maybe reclaiming these historical masculine notions of pure painting and using kitchen tools, which traditionally have been associated with women and domesticity, that there might be something to be said for your work as being a form of challenge to traditional views of femininity. Are you able to talk a little bit more to, I guess, that consideration that goes behind the work in that respect?
Yeah, I think maybe with craft practices and also with female, you know, if you look through the canon of art history, there is a little bit of a lack of representation, or things even with like textile practices, which are being kind of more recognized now, things that maybe like were more viewed through a woman's lens, or stuff that could be fit around a domestic setting. But to me, there's this rich kind of tapestry of like all these amazing female practitioners. Like I love Tiawani Tipo's work, who she started painting in her 80s, sort of telling stories of the Pacific through her painting. She's being much more recognized now, but for a long time, you know, in the canon of New Zealand art history, she wasn't necessarily, you know, or like Scylla McQueen or Anne McCann, you know, Scylla was Ralph Hotore's partner. You know, there's always amazing women practitioners as well who might be having to fit their practices around the domestic, or, you know, restrictions of like being a mother or fitting around work or the economies of scale and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, why would my work not reflect that back, you know, the challenges of some of those things, and also this amazing lineage of female practitioners and women that have influenced me, like the makers in my family, the woman makers in my family.
I'd love to hear more about those influences, though, that you mentioned there, woman before you and your family.
My mum was a costume maker, a pattern maker, was always making at home. She still is, you know, rag rugs and beaded curtains and us costumes. And my grandmother was a painter. She always painted, and it was always this making, knitting, doing kind of that was fit around daily life. And so that kind of thing has been modeled really strongly to me, as well as my dad. When he would be drawing, doing as a architectural draftsman in the shed at night, and mum would be off making something in her shed, or knitting or spinning wool, or like, yeah, I think that's always been, that making process has always been really strong in my family, and that's important and valid as well, I guess.
Yeah, born with it, ingrained. Born this way. Yeah, I'd love to hear a bit more about your process as well. Before beginning a work, is there a process of pre-sketching the form it will take or anything? Or is it more of an intuitive process where you feel led by the material in the moment?
I've definitely switched to try to work in series a little bit, where I will provide a treatment to a number of works. So like the Feather the Shell works, I'll do a series of those at one time. They'll all come out different, but there'll be certain layering processes that are undertaken across a number of works. It will be like, generally I might start off with like airbrush or paint, or kind of some sort of drawing, and then it will move into a process of like accumulating things like vol, which is chopped up and kind of disseminated in patterns, which is like a hibiscus bark from Fiji, and then like white mussy, which is tapa. There might be crab shell, power shell, you know, it's kind of these, I kind of think of it as the sedimentary process that builds. And I've got a raving too much gene, so I don't know when to switch off. it's more this process of like layer, 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 and what does finish look like? Who even knows? I guess it's just reaches a point. Finish is always a little bit tricky because overcooking is so easy.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of like, I've definitely done it where you like conceal everything and you're like, oop, this is an impenetrable spiky fortress. But I think, yeah, I've been trying to like, I think with the douse, doing this large work, which I haven't done in a while because I work at home on a little table, a 2.4-meter one was quite good again, where I could like expand it out and really pull that kind of netting of like lots of layers out to reveal like, oh, there's all this other stuff hidden in there sometimes. But yeah, I use like a variety. Like I always grew up with mum having collections of things, of shells, of, you know, all of her making stuff that I go and raid and put into my work as well. So I'm definitely got some strange sort of magpie affliction.
I love that. Yeah. You said that you struggle with kind of finding that end point and that process. Does it tend to just be like a gut feeling for you?
Yeah, it's this sort of point where you talk about it a bit when you're with students or whatever, where it's like, when have you solved the problem too much? And it becomes a little bit uninteresting or a bit dead. There's sort of like a tension between leaving enough open or enough interest that it can hook people in and that it's still kind of alive to when you've pushed it into the little bit dead territory. And you don't really know you've done it till you've done it, which sounds ridiculous, but it kind of
if
is,
you know,
like,
you know.
Oop. I probably shouldn't have worked on that till 3 a.m. because now it's gone quite strange. Yeah, it's never really fully resolved. And I think that there can be a thing sometimes if you've undertaken a process enough where it becomes easy.
Mm.
I think that is can be a bit of, like, you've solved the riddle too much. Mm. So now you're in a sort of a production mode as opposed to a making mode.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, that it's still got a level of unsolvedness.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah, leave a little bit open for interpretation.
Yeah. I think sometimes if you do too much and put a bow on it, it's not really that interesting anymore. Mm. Like some of the stuff that I've made where I've been like, oh my God, that's awful. What is that? And I've put it away and then come back to it and you're like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, leaving a bit of space.
Yeah, I think it's a constantly shifting goalpost, right? But you just have to, I think with my process, the too much thing can easily push something over into that territory.
Will you, if you feel like you've entered into too much territory, will you scrap it or will you try to recontextualize it for yourself?
Yeah, I think it's just keep going and going until it's gone a bit weird again.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's a good question, Sophia. Who knows?
Who knows? I have no answer. I feel like we've weaved through our conversation a lot that a large part of your work is also the incorporation of these shells, coral, mussy, and seaweed and laid into the surfaces thick with paint, resin, and other mediums, mm-hmm. bringing your Fijian heritage into the work. Are you able to speak a little bit more to this inclusion and this thread of whakapapa in your work?
Yeah, I think that particularly came from the shift that I had in my work where it's kind of like, I'd gone to study in the States during my undergraduate, and I think that helped with this reflection of like, oh, I'm not painting here, you know, like where the art history lineage you might be looking at is quite firmly based in America or Europe or something like that. I'm painting in the South Pacific.
Mm.
And what does that mean to be an abstract painter in the South Pacific? To me, that's more interesting and more relevant to me. And I think sometimes you just need a bit of that perspective. And spending time in Fiji, where I was like, at first I thought, oh, this isn't going to change my painting practice at all. Yeah, I was an idiot. And of course it did. You know, inevitably what you're experiencing there and the new materials you're exposed to and the colors and the sights and the sound, they do flow back into your work. So I think it was that thing, the reconnection was evidenced in the work.
Mm.
And there was this thing, I think this idea of like waterways is really important between, we're all connected by waterways in the South Pacific and where my dad's from, it's on the coastline of Vanua Levu. And it was just, I spent so much time on the reefs there. And it was this thing of like, yeah, using materials from the shorelines, materials from that area, actively embedding them. And then materials from here as well, where it was like, it has the whenua, the kind of the lineage embedded into the work.
Mm.
I think that was why it was this kind of gesture towards place.
Mm. Yeah. Does it feel kind of autobiographical in any sense, like an insertion of yourself?
Inevitably, yeah. Right? There's kind of, I was talking to someone where I was like, oh, you know, I'm an abstract painter, blah, 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 firmly in the abstract. And they're like, there is an element of you're using real, like representational painting, like because you are using real materials. So I was like, oh, kind of, yeah, I guess this sort of is where it's like you are directly using the material in your work that represents an object, a thing, a place. Yeah, and I think the more I resisted the work being autobiographical, the more it became autobiographical. Mm. Like I used to operate thinking that work was completely separate from myself. What an idiot. Yeah.
It came over you.
It came for me, yep.
Yeah. It happens. I also hear that you are the new Tylee Cottage artist in residence for the Sargent Gallery in Whanganui. Congratulations. Can you tell me a little bit about that residency and what you plan to do there?
Yeah, so it starts in April and runs through to July. And then there's this is the painting residency. And then there's like a photographic based one that runs afterwards. And it's like a 4-month period of making, which is rad. How often does that happen? And then with a presentation at the Sargent Gallery between, you know, that'll be decided between 2027 and 2029. Yeah, but it was kind of a follow-on from what happened at the Dowson and works that I would like to make, extending this idea of like creating sort of riffing on heritage, but creating some sort of new form of itoke object that sits somewhere between sculpture and painting. I also wanted to look more at textile-based works. There's doormats in Fiji, which are like rag rugs using like bullet shirt offcuts. Yeah, looking at some other forms that the paintings could potentially take. Like, it's still very much painting. Like, this is ultimately what I talk about works being sculpture and yada yada. I'm always being a painter.
Yeah.
Painter, make it. You know? So it's like, it'll always come back to, it's just painting in different types, ways and form, like dyeing fabric or adding it. Yeah. So yeah, it will very much be a painting-based project, looking at different forms and eventually coming up with some sort of show.
Exciting. Yeah. And as well, later in the year, I understand you're heading down to Hastings Art Gallery as well.
Yep,
can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that will be with Kurumi Kiddo, who's an assistant curator there, working in the foyer space. I think it will be potentially some of the Fewa Vonuvonu works, which are based on Fijian breastplates. They're like pearl and whalebone breastplates that I've made these shells with stands that kind of mimic that form, but my take on them. There was also my dad's cousin in, this is an aside, in Sabu Sabu runs a pearl farm. So one of my first experiences when we went back was jumping off the boat and so swimming amongst the pearl kind of. So there's this, that's when I started using the shells when I was thinking back about these kind of moments. Yeah, so that'll be based on a similar sort of thing. I think some of the experimentation from Tylee will inevitably kind of pop in there, but it was meant to be based on some of those works from the Douse.
Nerve-wracking, but exciting.
Yeah, it's always that process where you're quite, you know, figure it out.
Yeah. It'll come to you. Don't worry about
surely,
it.
Surely.
Don't worry about it. Hey, it's been so beautiful chatting about the
show and
your practice. I guess to end our kōrero, did you have any hopes for viewers engaging with the show who go see that at Melanie Roger Gallery?
Yeah, I think I've always enjoyed work. You know, if there's a level of generosity in work where it can be engaged with on multiple levels, like I think there can be a thing when viewing artwork where it can feel a little bit closed off or in an echo chamber about its own making. But my own practice, I'm quite invested in this idea of if somebody wants to come and engage with it and think, oh, that's funny or pretty, or that's equally as valid as if you're not, you know, if you're interested in why and the heritage behind the work and the lineage, you know, I think that's what I would want to extend as a sense of kind of manaaki of like, come, have a look. you know, you can engage with it how you choose.
That was artist Claudia Jowett speaking to me about her solo exhibition Uolevu, currently on at Melanie Roger Gallery. The show is on now until the 2nd of April.